I would recommend doing a small deal on your own or with a, you know, a partner or two, rather than going out and trying to raise capital or front earnest money, or, you know, get a 1% stake in someone else's larger deal. Because even though you learn from that, not downplaying that at all, there's definitely value in that. I feel like you learn more by doing, you know, the whole gamut of all the roles within, or at least most of the roles if you have a partner or two, rather than just barely peeking behind the curtain if you want a small piece of a larger syndication. So that would be my advice. Now, obviously, if someone doesn't have capital to get started or doesn't have a partner that you can, you know, bring in for the capital piece, then anything you can possibly do to immerse yourself in the business, you know, be it joining virtual webinars, join, you know, conferences, coaching, anything you can, just live, eat, breathe, sleep, multifamily, because this is not something that you can dabble in. You really have to understand the business to do well.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I am your host, as always, Yona Weiss. And today I am privileged to be joined by Candace Pilgrim. How are you doing today, Candace?
I'm doing great, Yona. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for joining. Candace, so you guys know, I like to give a little bit of context in the beginning of the episode so you guys know who it is that we're about to have a conversation with, and you guys are listening in. So this is Candace. Nice to meet you. She's the co-founder of, and you know, has the asset management at Astra Equity, which is a commercial real estate multifamily investment company. Currently have 5 assets under management, and she is, you know, really doing incredible things in the multifamily business. She actually comes from a background, I was kind of teasing her a little bit beforehand, in microbiology and biochemistry. And so to move into multifamily where you're dealing with, you know, a lot of microbiology on your assets is a big difference. But, you know, it's incredible, you know, to see the transformation of everyone that I speak to. And, you know, with no exception, you have an incredible story, how you transition from, you know, that pursuit of potentially a PhD in those areas and then moving into business, electronics wholesaling business, which is awesome. And then you moving that, taking all the income from that into multifamily, which is your current battle. So without further ado, I just want to jump right off the deep end and go into the, you know, the PhD, right? I mean, what was it like pursuing a PhD in biochemistry and microbiology?
Well, it was actually quite miserable, which is why I changed directions.
There you have it.
The PhD pursuit, I guess I'm a PhD dropout, if you want to call it that, but it was actually in immunology. So my bachelor's degrees are biochem and microbiology. And then I actually moved to Birmingham to chase that PhD. That's what brought me to Birmingham, which is where I still reside. And I honestly was just miserable in that program. I think it was part because I realized that was not what I'd always dreamed for it to be, with the highly political nature of, you know, pursuing grants for funding, research funding and everything. And just, it didn't help that the PI or principal investigator of the lab that I was in at the time was just not a good fit. So a lot of factors played into that, but I always wanted to work for myself, and it was meant to be, because I'm exactly where I was meant to be now. So I'm glad that it played out the way it did.
That's awesome. And so, I mean, make a long story short, you transitioned, had a long stint in a business, right? Working for yourself, managing, you know, running your own business. And then now you're doing the same, which is in multifamily. So what happened, you know, being a business owner? And just to clarify, are you still doing that? Is it still involved in that business, or did you transfer fully into real estate?
So we officially transferred as of the 1st of this year. So January 1st, 2021, full-time multifamily. So very recent transition, I guess, but I am officially out of that business and into multifamily full-time.
That's awesome. And there's so many opportunities, but I think what I love the most about this industry is the people. And I mean, it's just incredible how many awesome people there are. And something that you've done, I mean, the first couple of properties that you bought were kind of on your own or with a couple of partners, but this now you've just recently partnered up with a whole team of some of those awesome people that I was just, you know, referencing, which I think is the key to success in this business. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I love what you said about the people. You know, that was actually one of the reasons that I fell in love with this business, you know, partially because I love seeing the business plan from start to finish. I love multifamily in itself, but then the people, everyone in this business is so growth minded and, you know, abundance mindset minded. So that was very, very different from the electronics wholesale business that I was a part of. In that business, it was, you know, everyone was everyone else's competitor. We wanted to keep our vendor contacts, you know, separate and private because ultimately that was our profit center. And we didn't want our competitors having access to that. So I love the multifamily. It's completely different. You know, I love sharing contacts with everyone else and helping each other grow. And you know, whenever I was first analyzing those passive investment opportunities back in 2017, 2018, that's when I was really exposed to the people because I was having to network to meet sponsors and then also exposed to the business itself, you know, learning to analyze deals. So at that point, I realized like, this is what I want to do full time.
That's awesome. How did you decide, you know, to make that transition? I mean, going from business and running that, obviously, I mean, what you just said really rings true with me also, right? The people, but also just the growth mindset of everyone. You know, by the end of the day, right, if you have all of your income, right, coming from one source, or, you know, even if it's multiple sources, you have investments and things like that on the side, it's a big change to go from running a business for so many years to kind of switching focus and running full-time real estate business. I mean, would you say that, or would you say, I mean, maybe not. Maybe it's actually just kind of the same thing. You're running a different business, but I don't know. Just a thought of mine. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it is different, but also very much the same. You know, multifamily, each property is its own business. So a lot of the same principles still apply. You know, the main difference that for me personally is just the level of happiness for me, the reasons why I do it. You know, for the electronics wholesale business, I'm not saying I was unhappy. It was fine. It was fun working for myself and making all the new vendor contacts and those relationships. But at the end of the day, my primary reason for doing it was because it was a great moneymaker, right? But with multifamily, it's not just about the money and the financial freedom. I just really enjoy it a lot more so than I ever did that other business. And it's just about, you know, making the apartments a better place and a place that the residents are proud to call home with these improvements that we do. And it's just fun. So it's different, but very much the same in terms of running a business.
Oh, sure. And you're focused in Alabama, correct?
Correct. I'm in Birmingham. So Astra Equity, we target Birmingham and Huntsville, Alabama primarily. And we have a secondary focus on Charlotte, North Carolina.
Awesome. Alabama is presumably, for someone who's never been there, it just seems like a great place to be. I mean, just everyone that I've ever met from Alabama is just like the nicest person in the world.
Southern hospitality.
Exactly, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's a great place. So it obviously makes sense that you're working in the hometown, that in the home areas, home state that you are in. But I want to ask you something that, maybe it's a little personal. I don't know. You could choose to answer or not. But, you know, you mentioned that you're changing the lives, right? You're actually improving the lives of the people that are, you know, the tenants that are in your properties. To me, that's a big deal. I mean, some people get a bad impression of real estate, that they're like slumlords and people just taking advantage of, you know, others. And what do you do to like ensure? And I mean, I've seen some of the properties that you've done and you've turned around and, you know, the befores and afters, and that's incredible. But like, what do you do to ensure kind of the happiness or the environment of the tenants in your properties?
I mean, what's big for us is just take care of them. And, you know, it goes back to the principle of treating others as you want to be treated. I mean, you know, our residents are people that, you know, just like us, who want a nice place to live. And, you know, if they have a maintenance request, they want that answered and answered quickly. And, you know, we want what's best for them. So we're definitely the opposite of slumlords. And, you know, it's pretty cool with like our 40 unit property. I'm sure you've seen the before and afters. That was the heavy lift we had. You actually did the cost study for us on that one, now that I think of it. But yeah, I mean, that property, since we're local, it's only 20 minutes from us. You know, my husband's constantly back and forth checking contractor work. He's had several residents walk up to him and just thank him, you know, from the bottom of their heart, saying, you know, I've lived here for 10 years and the previous owner never took care of us. And, you know, my apartment was so run down. And what they did was transferred into one of our renovated units. And now they love it. And we actually had one resident that moved back to our apartment complex after not living there for the last 3 years because of the condition the previous owner had let it get to. And then they saw what we were doing and wanted to move back. And they, you know, they almost like wanted to hug us virtually over the phone, because this was actually a phone call. But it's just cool to see those things, you know, and to see the residents so happy to, you know, to see us changing this place from what it used to be to what it is now.
Absolutely. I mean, that to me, that's so important also. Like, the place you live, you want it to be nice. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants their place to live to be nice.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, I assume so, yeah. But
right.
I'm sure there are exceptions. Have you experienced some, you know, some setbacks because of, you know, the past year has been a little crazy in terms of COVID, in terms of, you know, people out of work and things like that, or are your residents affected, which in turn affected you in terms of, you know, people not paying rent or anything like that?
We really haven't been affected much until like one of our properties had a bigger effect than the rest. And that effect really didn't kick in until December. We first noticed higher delinquency around December, January. And it seems to be trending back up again now. And even, you know, I say higher, I mean, we were looking at about a 7-8% increase in delinquency compared to what we were accustomed to before. So higher, but still beating pro forma based on just where we are with rents and everything else. So as far as overall effect to our cash flow, you know, no, but we were watching that very closely and, you know, doing everything we could to keep up with those residents and work with them and help seek out rental assistance for them. And several of them, we were able to get rental assistance through United Way and other local programs. Oh, wow. So, you know, it all goes back to good property management there, because our property management company is very proactive with seeking solutions for those residents that are struggling.
That's great. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer, right? You want to make sure that they're paying their rent. Right. So if they can't, I mean, you want to make sure that it's going to cost you a lot less, basically put it like this, from a business perspective, it's going to cost you a lot less to help them find resources to be able to pay rent than to have to go through the process of trying to get them out or evict them and bring in new tenants. And it's also, I think personally, a much more humanitarian approach. You know, if I were in that situation, I would want my landlord to be compassionate and understanding and maybe offer some solutions. Not that they're required to by any means, but I think it just kind of shows, like you said, the importance of the property managers and the people that are kind of running the property.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we definitely try to work with them first, and our property managers are familiar with their history. Like, if they had positive payment history before, or if they've always been a problem tenant. Or, you know, they can usually tell a property manager, if they're a good property manager and have, you know, a lot of back history with these residents, they usually know if they're actually struggling or if they're just using it to their advantage. So I trust them on that. And, you know, we definitely don't file eviction unless they see good reason to do so.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a hard process to go through regardless, in any event. Mm-hmm. All right. By any means. You mentioned before you passively invested before you got started in the active side of the deals. Is that something you're still pursuing, even though you've gone pretty full time in terms of Astra Equity and taking on your own deals? Is the passive investing still part of that?
I'm still currently passively invested in several projects, you know, just from before. But as far as looking for new opportunities, the only time we do that currently is through our solo 401k. You know, since it's harder to use solo 401k money for my own active deals, you know, I can't just go use it to purchase an apartment complex on the GP side. So we do still use that money as it cycles back. My husband and I both use that solo 401k money to passively invest. So I still definitely stay on top of current opportunities and, you know, what other sponsors are doing to see if, you know, what might be my next best fit for passive.
Sure. Absolutely. What would you say someone who's kind of in your position, and they're looking to get into multifamily or real estate investing, and they're listening to this podcast? Not that you're going to learn anything about real estate from this podcast necessarily, but, you know, you're listening to other podcasts also. And you're like, hey, you know, Candace, is doing something awesome. It's like something I dream of. And not only that, you know, maybe I can do something similar. Like, what would you say, like, is the best step? Would you say take your path of first invest passively in other deals or what? I mean, what would you say?
You know, it's so, the answer is so different for every individual. It's hard to just give like a blanket answer because it all depends on that individual's personal goals and resources to get started. So for me, at least, you know, because of my electronics wholesale business, I had capital to get started. So for me, the best path was to buy my own deal because I was able to learn everything from start to finish throughout that first, that big 40 unit acquisition that I did on my own. I mean, I learned everything from that deal and it allowed me to grow and to, you know, to join forces with Astra Equity and add value to that team because at this point or at that point, I knew what I was good at and what I enjoyed doing. So I think going out and actually buying your own deal, even if it's smaller, even if it's a 10 unit, to me, that's a better way to learn than simply taking, you know, courses or coachings or conferences, which all of that's great. Networking is definitely the way to go as well. But I would just say that if you've got the resources, I would recommend doing a small deal on your own or with a, you know, a partner or two, rather than going out and trying to raise capital or front earnest money or, you know, get a 1% stake in someone else's larger deal. Because even though you learn from that, not downplaying that at all, there's definitely value in that. I feel like you learn more by doing, you know, the whole gamut of all the roles within or at least most of the roles if you have a partner or two, rather than just barely peeking behind the curtain if you own a small piece of a larger syndication. So that would be my advice. Now, obviously, if someone doesn't have capital to get started or doesn't have a partner that you can, you know, bring in for the capital piece, then anything you can possibly do to immerse yourself in the business, you know, be it joining virtual webinars, join, you know, conferences, coaching, anything you can just live, eat, breathe, sleep, multifamily, because this is not something that you can dabble in. You really have to understand the business to do well.
No, I agree. That's awesome advice. And it's totally different for everyone. I agree with that. But I think what you said there was so important because a lot of people are afraid to just jump in and buy their own deal without the experience. And I mean, buying a 40 unit property without having bought, I mean, you did have a couple of single families before that, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
So it wasn't like you were starting from nothing, starting from scratch, but you understood real estate. You understood a little bit beforehand, but it's a little scary for a lot of people to just jump in like that.
Yeah. And the other mistake I see a lot of people making and another piece of advice I would give is don't immediately jump in and brand yourself with other partners. I know you've seen that happening a lot, especially in the social media universe where someone will latch onto a couple of other partners, form an entity and try to pursue deals when maybe none of them have ever done a deal or they've never done a deal together, most importantly. So that's one thing with Astra Equity. You know, I'd been working with these three partners for, you know, quite a while, but we wanted to close three deals together before we made it official because we wanted to make sure that it worked. You know, it's a marriage. So Rich, Jeremy and Stuart are awesome. I knew they were awesome from the day I met them, but until we actually worked together, I didn't know for sure that it was the path I wanted to take. And now I'm 100% sure I'm exactly where I was meant to be. Love Astra Equity, love the three of them to death. But I would just say, you know, proceed with caution because once you get into one of these larger deals with partners that you barely know, you know, it's hard to unravel that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's excellent advice. I wasn't aware that was going on in social media.
Sure.
But speaking of which, you started something a little while back called the Multifamily Women's Mastermind. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? I mean, and for our listeners, maybe no one's ever heard of this before. What's that about?
Yeah, so that actually started with, I met Chat Steinwald at a Rod Cleef event in 2018. And we were just discussing how there's really, at that time especially, there was really no women's network for multifamily investing. You know, that it just, there was a need for that in the space because, as you know, it's primarily men in the multifamily syndication world. And we just wanted a place where, you know, we could all support one another in our journeys and collaborate with one another and potentially co-GP, you know, when needed. So we had had that discussion in late 2018, but we didn't really act on it. We were, at least myself, I was still very new in the multifamily space. So we just kind of left that conversation behind for a moment. And then we met Michelle Opelt in early 2019. And Michelle had the same idea, basically. So we said, why not just combine, and the three of us will, you know, be the co-founders of this amazing mastermind. So we did. It is a Facebook group, and there is an application process to join. We don't charge for the women's mastermind. We're strictly about just supporting one another and, you know, being there. And we hold monthly meetings where we have special guest speakers. Prior to COVID, we had in-person meetings as well. We'll actually have a women's breakfast at the Houston event later in January. That'll be our first in-person multifamily women's mastermind meetup since early 2019. But yeah, I mean, we love the group. We have seen partnerships form within the women's mastermind, and we're just excited to see the growth that we've experienced.
That's awesome. There aren't a lot of groups like that exist. So we're going to make sure to put a link to that Facebook group in the show notes for anyone who's interested in checking that out, because it's so important, especially for women, like you said. Unfortunately, and there are more now than there were a couple years ago. I mean, I remember I've seen a lot of all-stars like yourself come up and, you know, start making a lot more deals. But it's still, you know, I'd say 80 to 90% of the players in the space are men. And it's awesome to see the integration and really proliferation of the space with women, and doing it together and supporting each other is obviously something that I feel very strongly that is so important. I mean, I know I'm not a woman, obviously, but I see the value in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're all about. So love Michelle and Chat and everything they've done to help grow the Multifamily Women's Mastermind. And it's been a real pleasure working with them on it.
Awesome. And so let's just jump into the final four over here, which is a segment towards the end of our podcast, where we like to go a little deeper and find out a little more about who is Candace Pilgrim and how we do that. It was some interesting questions. And the first one is, what's the worst job that you ever had?
So I don't know if this even really counts as a job. I guess technically I was getting paid via stipend, but the worst job would absolutely be the PhD program experience that I had. So I was working in an immunology lab, working on type 1 diabetes research at the time on mice. So I actually really enjoyed the science, but the environment was just very toxic. You know, I was working long hours, leaving the lab at 6 or 7, then analyzing data, then not eating half the time, getting up early and going in again. And it was just no freedom of time, no ability to outsource any work to others. And ultimately, I wanted to work for myself and build something bigger. So, you know, it wasn't the lab environment necessarily like in itself, because I actually had a 3-year lab job prior that I loved. It was just not a good environment for me, but it was meant to be. I'm glad I'm out.
Absolutely. Sure. It taught you what, you know, you really are passionate about, and kind of gave you that boost to get out of there and get out on your own.
Right. Life's too short to be unhappy and unhealthy.
That's a great quote. That's awesome. Second question for you. What's a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
I would say Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. That book, you know, it teaches you so much more than just negotiation tactics. For me, it's more about, you know, the human psyche and how other people process information and think, mm-hmm. and, you know, the best ways to react and be proactive with communications. And that's just one of those books I could read 3 or 4 times or even more, and get more and more out of it each time.
For sure. There's so many important things that I learned from that book as well. I mean, just in how he talks about nonverbal communication, mm-hmm. for example, it's little things like that, that if you hadn't studied psychology, and you haven't studied communication, it's so simple. And they're literally everyday things that come out of it. I mean, with every conversation you have, whether it's with your spouse or with your children or with coworkers or vendors, it's nonstop. And you're so right. This is not just about negotiation. It's really about communication. And highly recommend that book. So I appreciate you. I think it's the first time anyone has mentioned that on the podcast, which is pretty cool.
Oh, so, wow. Thanks for bringing it up. Surprised. I figured that would have been a common answer. Yeah. Great book.
Absolutely. What is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
So I guess I have a personal answer and a professional answer. Personal would be a better family work balance. You know, I've brought this up on several podcasts before that I really just struggle with this. And it's not that I can't block time off to spend with family, because I do that all the time. I've cut off times for work and, you know, I try to put my phone on silent, but it's more about being physically present and mentally present, not just physically present. I have a hard time. My mind is constantly working, like constantly spinning. Like I need to do this. Oh, I need to, and then I want to write, you know, write a note in my phone so I don't forget. It's just hard to just completely shut it off. So that would be my personal. And then my professional answer would be, I would love to learn, and this is probably not a typical female answer, but I would love to learn all the trades, like carpentry, plumbing, electrical. Not that I want to go do it myself, but I just want to better understand, like, so potential solutions to problems and, you know, to better be able to check work from others. Luckily now I have Rich on my team at Astra Equity, so this skill isn't quite as needed as when I was flying solo, but I just wish I understood all of that a little bit better.
Sure. Yeah. I think from my experience in learning these type of things, specifically the ones you mentioned, it's just really from apprenticing or just being around others who are doing it. And you just pick up a little thing here, a little thing there, much more so than, but I guess nowadays you can learn a lot from like YouTube and those type of things if you have some round the house projects, but sounds good. Those are great, great skills to have. I would say the first one is also professional, even though
it's, yeah, true.
It's personal, but you know, for me, you know, this is me personally, we, you know, being an Orthodox Jew, we have the Sabbath. We take very seriously, and it's sort of like shut down everything, like no communicate, no phones, no computer, no work, not even work, like nothing. So it's really just, we're forced to take the time to, you know, spiritual escape basically, and just to be with family. And I don't know what I would do without that, but obviously everyone's different. Everyone has different approaches to life.
Right. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I love that you do that. I need to do something similar, but it's hard. Like I said, even if I shut everything off, I can't shut my brain off or my mind off. So it's still something I'm working on daily.
I hear. Yeah, for sure. And fourth and final question, what does success mean to you?
Happiness. You know, success means happiness. I know happiness means a lot of different things to different people, but for me, growth is happiness. And I remember one of the first Rod Cleef conferences I attended in 2018, he actually said, growth is happiness. And that kind of resonated with me because I've always felt that way, you know, both personal growth and professional growth. You know, I always want to be improving. So seeing that improvement makes me happy. And my husband, Casey, and I, we have very different personalities when it comes to that. So he's very laid back and he has the type of mentality where, you know, if we get to X amount of net worth, then we're gone, living on the beach, never going to work again. And then I'm more like, I'm probably still going to grow, you know, always going to be doing something just because I really enjoy the growth. And yes, at some point I'll step back more and outsource more and enjoy life. And I'm not saying I'm going to be a workaholic until, you know, I'm old, but, you know, don't get me wrong there. I just always want to see growth to some degree, professionally and personally. And that's success to me, seeing the growth and being able to enjoy time with family while growing at the same time and having the freedom to shift that balance in whatever way I want.
That's awesome. And I agree with you. I mean, growth is, there's really no such thing as, I mean, you're either growing or you are deteriorating. I mean, there's really no middle ground. I think it's, unfortunately, a lot of people think, oh, if I just sit back and relax and don't do anything, I'll be fine. But it's not true. I mean, you really, whether spiritually or professionally or personally or however you want to judge it, if you're not growing, you're not learning constantly and growing and trying to be better, it's actually getting worse. Mm-hmm. So that's so important. That's an incredible definition of success and happiness together. So I appreciate that. Where can our listeners find you or reach out to you if they want to?
Yeah. So you can find me on Facebook, Candace Pilgrim. You could also email me at candace@astraeq.com or visit our website at astraeq.com. And, you know, if you're interested in the Birmingham, Huntsville, or Charlotte markets, we'd love for you to fill out our contact form on the website and we'd love to have a call with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for spending the time with us today, Candace. It's been a pleasure catching up and talking to you. And, you know, I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, Yonah.
Oh, you're welcome. And to our listeners, remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.